It's a fantastical show.
Geek Juice Radio.
Centipede was my joint.
What was Biafra's first name in that movie? Which is the Jello?
All the stoners are giggling at it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Geek Juice Radio. Got another great show tonight.
But don't first, lie.
I'm not lying.
Someone's got to take Josh's place.
Yeah. But first introductions tonight, I'm Alex Drowski.
I'm Kevin Daly, and the show is not very good.
Oh.
Oh, don't say that. Why are you going to say that?
Jillian.
Hello.
And we've got the Tanina.
Hello.
Yes, the Tanina, because there is only one.
There can be only
like
one.
Like Tiggers. Yeah, like Tiggers.
But tonight our topic is the depiction of females in video games, which is why we've got two women on tonight.
Girl power!
Raising the estrogen levels of Geek Juice Radio.
Well, not just whatever. Video games, but geek culture in general, like the fantasy genre and whatnot.
Ah, fantasy.
All the cheesecake.
I actually don't like cheesecake. I am a very not typical girl in that way.
Are we talking cheesecake, the food, or the art?
Yeah, well, the food, because it's a, you know, staple that women are like, oh, cheesecake, and I'm just like, that's okay.
I, however, like the food cheesecake, and I'm not a big fan of the art cheesecake, so.
What is the art cheesecake? Is that like sculptures just made out of cheesecake?
It's like... you've probably heard the term beefcake before, right? Male art, half-naked dudes, rippling muscles, covered in oil. It's basically the female version of that.
I thought that was just porn.
It's
porn. You ever seen Frank Frazetta's art? All the cheesecake.
That's right. All the tea.
You know, if you're not familiar with Frank Frazetta's art, I should try to find you some because.
Indeed.
Cheesecake is like the big bosomed women wearing a bikini that just covers the nipple.
So it's like DOA.
Yes.
Yes. Well, let's see if I can find a good one here.
H99.
Do the tigers.
This one. Okay. It's because sitting pictures over Skype is great radio, but we're going to do it anyway.
We've got.
Oh my god, if you guys could only see this.
This is a presented piece.
See, to me, it's like that's not really a genre of art. I mean, it's just art. I think it's weird to be like cheesecake art or what have you, because it's been around.
Well, it's,
art is art.
It's a big deal in the RPG community. There's a lot of argument back and forth of what should be depicted in RPG manuals and such.
Well, I know Kevin brought up to me the other day the construction of armor in like D&D artwork for women
and
whatnot.
The boob plate.
I know, like when it's like, oh, draw your character, I was like, I want to be sexy, but that's not very practical. Just don't hit me in the stomach, enemies.
Well, I know the breastplates that they have on women with the metal breasts.
It's like, please direct sword directly to heart.
Yeah, it creates a funnel that if you're going to stab, it's going to slip right down into the between those.
Well, it works as another attack because you can just ram somebody.
Spiked points on the end of them.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. When you look in the pictures in the D&D stuff and the sexy women with their armor where they're very scantily clad, yeah, it's hot. I like it and everything. But at the same time, realistically, you're not very protected. But it still makes my character look hot, so I draw it that way. I was like, a robe? Why does a sorcerer have to wear a robe? Whatever. I'm going to buy something different.
Now, let's move.
But if I see one more woman in a chainmail, like, bikini in the frozen tundra, I'm probably going to lose it.
She could have the Winterland boots where the weather does not affect you. No, that's an actual item. You get the boots and then you don't have, like, any effect from cold or hot. It's magic. Know your shit. Oops. stuff. Damn it. Ah!
That's like I said, more stuff for Jowski to edit.
I'm so sorry. And I can't even promote the show with Josh because it's got the F word in it. So it'd be like, what the...
You could just say, what the fask.
What the
frack.
Fudge.
I'll go to the Battlestar Galactica route and try and say frack instead of the fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
I said the F dash 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 word. Okay, anywho.
Anywho,
sorry.
Now, women in video games
are hot.
Sometimes.
Always. Even Samus.
Sometimes they're too skinny.
Dat armor.
What is that background noise?
Yeah, that's the baby.
Oh.
So your baby's Thor?
I'm the baby guy.
She's dragging stuff on the floor, and Martha's watching the debate, so she's not really paying attention to the baby.
She's a dragging queen. Sorry.
All right. But let's get back to the...
Continue.
Women in video games, besides how they look, I want your opinions on how they're depicted, the female characters, because there are differences between how they depict male characters' personalities.
Well, it depends on the game. I mean, some characters are strong. You have... I think Zelda's a fairly strong character.
Depends which game you're talking about.
True.
Yeah, she doesn't...
Twilight Princess, she didn't really do a whole lot.
And Legend of Zelda 2, Link's Adventure, she doesn't contribute at all.
She was sleeping, getting her beauty rest.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're unconscious the whole game. Yeah.
Well, in Twilight Princess, you know, she gets on the horse and is using her arrows and everything. But, you know, you look at Ocarina, things like that, and Wind Waker, she's, you know, puppet Ganon.
She can... Ocarina of Time, isn't she?
Yeah.
Spoiler. Sorry, spoilers.
Spoilers. Game
oh, no! Okay, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about that, but I don't know. I'm not going to go that into Zelda because I will talk forever, but I see what you're saying, but I think in the realm of females in video games, if you're talking strong characters, Zelda is not what comes to mind first. Like, she's useful, but... I wouldn't call her a strong character because she's still the typical damsel in distress. You know, it's, oh, save me, and then she'll do something.
Until the recent Metroid game, Samus was a strong character.
Yeah, when you asked me to be on here and talk about, that was the first thing that popped in my head because they turned her into just, oh my gosh, like, I didn't play it, but I read and heard a lot about it because... I was looking into it about playing it, and when I heard that she's just essentially writing in her diary and is all, they just took away all of her strength, and I was like, no. So I do not recognize, I go the same way of the Lost Boys sequels and do not recognize that they exist.
Yeah, I've been told that it's terrible and that I shouldn't even think it remember it exists, so
exactly.
I haven't played it.
But that was the thing, too, for the original NES, obviously, the first Metroid game. That was the big mind-blowing thing, is you found out it was a girl. You're playing this entire game, and up until then, you didn't really have any, you know, female platform leads in games. And so I remember some of the dudes were pissed and just like, there's a girl that's full bleep. And... I always thought it was awesome. You look at stuff, I mean, it really depends on the genre. You look at things like DOA kind of taking the extreme from what Street Fighter had done with, you know, Chun-Li and Cammy, and they just super sexed it up. Mortal Kombat, if you look at the evolution of the characters, I mean, each game they wear less and less. You look at Katana and Melina, and they're essentially wearing loincloths that cover their boobs and go down. And I think... that was unnecessary, but we live in a society where sex sells, so it makes cosplay interesting when you go to cons anyway. But yeah, it's become less about the moves and fighting games. I mean, I'll admit, I love DOA. Dustin and I get in many fights because he loves Tekken. And my tag team is Kasumi and Bayman. And I'm well aware, yeah, I go to the options menu and I put the age up to 99 so their little jumblies bounce around more and get bigger. But that's just me. I go both ways, so it's all
good. So you like the jiggle physics?
I like my characters to remind me of me.
Tawny, your opinion?
Well, when you were when you opened the topic, the first thing that came to mind was Cooking Mama. I don't know why, but I was just like, oh, Cooking Mama. Because, I mean, she, as a character, doesn't really have much development other than she wants to teach you how to cook and she gets really angry when you f*** up. So,
frack up.
Mess up, whatever. But she doesn't really have much character, though, so if we're talking about character, I don't really know, like...
To me, with, like, Cooking Mama, isn't that kind of a younger-based game? Or I've never played it. It's kind of like a puzzle-esque game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because to me, puzzle games don't really have character development.
Right.
So when you're thinking females in video games, I would give that one a pass. I'm not trying to be like, oh, null and void, but...
Right,
know,
but I'm just saying that was the first thing. That's the first thing that came to mind. But
this is not
other
the
than
1950s.
That,
casual games snob Julia.
Clearly, it's symbolic of the 1950s putting women in the kitchen.
Right? Clearly.
Where's cooking, daddy? This is BS.
Where's Michael Keaton playing Mr. Mom?
Occupy Nintendo. Let's go.
But other than that, for female character development, I kind of agree with, like, Samus, how her first few games were, it was like, oh, yeah, look at her, she's all kinds of powerful and stuff. And I remember when my brother found out that she was a girl, he was like, that's pretty hot.
I'm down. Oh, see, the guys I knew, it was more, that's so stupid. But I hung out with stupid guys when I was, yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing, she was such a strong character, and then they made her so weak. And... I wasn't really a fan of the Tomb Raider games, but that's a game where, you know, you kick ass as a female lead. So for that, I mean, there's just, again, it depends on genre too. There's not a whole lot retrospectively of games with female leads.
You made me think of Perfect Dark.
Yes, I was just going to say that. And even then it was kind of, they took the format of GoldenEye.
Yeah.
And they stuck aliens in it, which once you get to the aliens, I stopped playing and I just played multiplayer. Multiplayer was the best part about that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love Perfect Dark, but again, if I had a choice, I'd probably just pop in GoldenEye. There was nothing that spectacular. It was essentially GoldenEye, but not James Bond with a female. It just really, I think they took the platform and just kind of, oh, let's make a girly one.
Right.
Not girly, but a female.
But, well, make female lead.
Yeah, no, there she wasn't.
With
girly.
An alien.
Yeah, I was like, what is it with the aliens? I was digging it till the aliens, and I was like, what the frack is this? Like, seriously? All right, I'm going to go to multiplayer and see how many, like, NPC heads I can go with the Cougar Magnum.
So, you just gave me my review of the last Indiana Jones movie. I was into it until the aliens. Or AI. I guess those are technically robots, but they still look like aliens.
You brought up Tomb Raider, though. That's a game that received a lot of flack for Lara Croft. But
if you look at cosplayers, like, that's a huge cosplay and Halloween costume because girls like to go badass every once in a while, and Lara Croft is kind of the go-to.
But see, that's a game I loved for the gameplay. I played all of those because they were fun games. Lara Croft was irrelevant to me.
I don't know. I just wasn't a fan of the gameplay. I never really got into it. There was nothing necessarily wrong with it where I was like, screw this. This is, like, unplayable. So, I don't know. I played a lot of games, so that was just kind of one that I would play at somebody's house, and I was just not digging that entirely much. Maybe I need to go back and play it from the beginning. But... if you look at a lot of games, you look at Metal Gear Solid, you know, you have a female that is essentially just helping the male go through this.
But then you have the boss, who's considered to be one of the strongest female characters ever in a game.
Right.
From 3.
I can't remember three. It's been so long.
She's like the inspiration for the big boss, the Snake's predecessor, like his clone, like where his clone came from. Like that was like his big inspiration. She's like the villain. She's the villain. I use that in quotes in three, but she's considered to be one of the strongest female characters in video games. So you have both of that in that series, where you have the characters that are kind of the just side dressing, so to speak.
True,
and then you have characters that are like strong, so I don't know. That's how that series really kind of.
I was more so looking at gameplay type thing, because.
Oh, okay.
If you look at villains, I understand that, but gameplay wise, and I was one of those kids, and I still am, where it's like, I'm going to pick the girl! I was always, which sometimes isn't the wisest thing. But, I mean, Mario Kart, I still kick ass with Peach, it's all good. But, I mean, even in Resident Evil, playing as Jill, you didn't really have a whole lot of downsides. It wasn't. Clearly, this character is weaker. You should play, but Claire in the other ones, I freaking hated playing as her. Like, I did not like it when you had to switch over to her. I don't know. Like, to me, that was just kind of a cop out. I miss Jill so badly.
Oh, which one was it in Resident Evil 2?
Claire is in 2.
Yeah, Claire in 2.
Yeah, Jill's in the first one.
One, 3, and that's it.
Well, I just meant between 1 and 2.
She's in 5.
She's in 5, but she's not playable.
Dead in 5, yeah.
Well, playing as Claire in 2, I mean, that's like the only version of that game I played. I liked her.
I didn't like it.
I found her gameplay it was easier to go through that story.
Because they made it easier, though. That's the thing. They dumbed down because she is a weaker character. You need a lot more health when you play with Claire versus playing with Chris.
Right.
You have to bulk up on health. It is not a fair trade. It's not going through the game with just a female. Like, there's very huge differences in, her durability to where you essentially it's like, oh, you're a woman, you're weak, so you better stock up on health. And I didn't like that. It was really, really annoying. It made gameplay just less enjoyable for me anyway. Maybe I'm the only one, but...
I never really noticed that at playing through that game, but 2 is not my favorite in the series, so I really don't remember. I know I liked Claire's parts of Code Veronica the best because they were the more tense, more survival-y. Like, when you got to the Chris sections, they were more action-oriented. Mm-hmm. So I actually kind of preferred the more investigative, kind of like exploratory aspects of the Code Veronica part. But I never noticed her being weaker. So I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I do know that in 1, Jill actually took hits less well than Chris did. But her inventory was bigger, and she had the grenade launcher, so her game was by far more entertaining.
Well, to be...
Jill sandwich.
And yeah, she gets the better lines.
To be fair, I didn't play Code Veronica. I know I still need to, but that was just one that I never had the opportunity to play. But yeah, I mean, I did notice Jill took less hits, and that's the thing too, but Jill was still more badass than Claire was. And before anybody is like, oh, well, you just, sucked playing as Claire, so you got hit more. No, I mean, I understand the difference between when you're getting hit and health going down versus, the durability of a character. And
I don't know, maybe I was paying
too much attention.
I'm not saying you're not good. I just never noticed it when I was playing through 2. So
I mean, whoever's listening before they start being like, she just sucks. Be like, no, I played it well, I promise.
Well, Jill's my favorite character in that whole series, so I just obviously I'm a little biased on that.
Mine too, and not because we share a similar name. So
when we bring up Resident Evil, it reminds me of the one time, I think it was in Resident Evil 0. I'm watching my brother play, and he found this door that the camera would, like, when you walked through, it was just the door, and you could see the female character just stand there, and you could spin in a circle and watch her boobs bounce. My brother did that for 5 minutes straight, and he was like, look at her boobies, look at them go, bounce, bounce, bounce.
Did you ever play as the tofu? That's hilarious.
In 2, yeah.
Yes.
I did.
We read
that's
tofu
a strong
slash
female
fic.
Character.
Yeah,
I've heard about the tofu
last
slash.
Week.
Tofu is clearly the strongest female character in the history of video gaming.
Hundreds of zombies with just a knife.
That's right.
Tofu's badass.
Bring up one of the more popular females in video games, though. The princess from Mario Brothers. The first games. Before she was really officially named. I mean, did she have a name then?
No, and not until...
it was Princess Toadstool, yeah. And then it went to Peach.
Yeah. Right. Peach in 64, right?
No. She was in Super Nintendo 1.
But that's
Super
what she was
Mario
called?
Bros.
I thought she didn't sign her name as Peach until Mario 64.
I don't know. Look it up.
Doing it.
I know.
I'm actually well, Mario 3.
Princess Perch? Very good.
Mario 3, I think it does say Peach.
Oh,
cause I remember
her name
being...
is Peach Toadstool, though.
Yeah. Right.
Princess
so
Peach
they,
Toadstool.
They didn't give her a first name for a while. It was always just Princess Toadstool. And I guess when Mario was a carpenter, he dumped the dumb bitch that was kidnapped by Donkey Kong and left him for a princess and became a plumber. So apparently, you know, hardworking men, blue collar, get like hot chicks. Because
okay,
that
so
wasn't Princess Toadstool.
So this is what Wikipedia says. In Japan, the princess's name has always been Peach, Peach Haima. And she was known as Princess Toadstool in the United States and Western country. The English translation of Yoshi's Safari in 93 marked the first name of the use Peach outside of Japan.
The game was the Princess game... Hima? That's weird.
No, Peach Hima. I don't know. You know like,
Hima.
Yeah, Hima.
H-I-M-A is probably Hima.
Peachy Hima, I think it says in here.
Peachy Hima.
So, literally, Princess Peach.
But remember in Super Mario Brothers 1, she was the damsel in distress. Super Mario Brothers.
Another castle. Go away. Crap on this. I'm gonna go play Super Mario's Punch Out.
But Super Mario Brothers 2, where she was a playable character.
I played with her all the time because
everybody
she
did.
Was awesome.
She floated.
Luigi. Yeah.
That's what was awesome about her.
There was one level where you switch to Luigi, and that's the one with the ostriches, so you can get up to, like, the super tall tower, and the
right.
only time you could do that was with Luigi. But yeah, that was the first time, really, where people were like, Princess Toadstool is stupid. Everybody played with her.
Everybody did, and my friends would all play as her. I'm like, why? Why are you picking her for this level? Because she floats. And I would try to explain to them, like, strategy about it. Like, each of them have their own things that they're good at and weak at. That's why you want to pick this character for this level, this one for this level. But none of them, they're like, no, she floats.
You are incorrect, sir. I can get through the whole game and breeze through it with Princess Toadstool other than that one level that I used Luigi to get to that tower.
Like, my logic
I honestly think I played the entire game with her and beat the entire game with her. I may have twitched at one point, but I know I played at least 90% of the game with her.
Well, that's only if you want to go in that one tower. Otherwise, you can play through. Especially with the one where you're, like, bird hopping. It's like, no, I'm not gonna not float, because... they're going past
I mean there's certain levels where the floating is vital, but like Luigi jumps higher, so you know, like there's that level offhand that you mentioned. Toad is faster, so if there were levels where you had the opportunity to pull up like a ton of coins, I would pick him. That way I'd have like 20 goes at that.
Yeah, I was still awesome at that though. Psh, the little slot machine.
Yeah, the slot machine.
That
and
was
Mario
the
was just well-rounded
mini. Yeah, but Mario got boring. It was like Toad I would sometimes use just because I played that game a bazillion times, so I would go through with the other characters. Toad was great for the snow levels because you had the little flurry guys that would just slide real fast, and so I would like have time battles on like how fast I could get through Toad and just blow through it, hopping up and down and crouching and sliding. Sounds like my Saturday night. Oh.
Or that scene from that D'Amato film. Actually, that was a D'Amato and Mattei film, right? That was the first Mondo Erotico?
Which, oh, the ice skating? The
roller skating.
Roller skating, yeah.
Where they're just sliding around nude on the floor, falling down on roller skates?
Yeah, that one.
I liked the Duck Hunt movie by the name of Birdemic.
Duck Hunt had better graphics.
I failed to unlock the coat hanger weapon versus the zapper in the NES game. I'm still trying to do that. Speaking of NES, I've got Captain N on right now.
Good call.
I do. Well, no, it was on beforehand, and then Alex was like, hey, can we record earlier? I'm like, sure.
What other memorable female characters have there been?
And I think that's the problem, is we're sitting here trying to remember what other. And if you say male characters, you're like, blam, blam, blam. And so we're having to kind of rack our brains and be like, well, there was so-and-so.
Shell from Portal 2, but you don't really get to see her.
Yeah.
And she's a silent protagonist.
Yeah.
Well, you can see her whenever you want. If you just place a portal in front of you and then behind you, you can stare at her butt.
I understand that, but I mean, it's not like you get a lot of, like, outside of the Vision cutscenes. You don't really... I mean, she's female, but
so
doesn't really
glottals.
Matter. Yeah. Oh, there you go. If you, I guess you could count that. That's kind of a robot, but...
Chun-Li was awesome, but Chun-Li only because they nerfed her. Because if she didn't have that kick, you wouldn't really play her that much in Street Fighter 2. And it's that kind of... people were like, that's bro! You're cheating, you can't be Chun-Li! Because that kick was just murder to get past if you were any other character.
She was top tier in 3, along with Ken.
No, Chun-Li was my first introduction to internet trolls back in, like, junior high school.
What do you mean?
Oh.
Because Street Fighter 2 on the SNES, everybody wanted Chun-Li naked codes. And so I'd go online to message board stuff and look, and... there'd be people, oh yeah, just do this, you know? You have to, like, hit your SNES and shout at it and...
What?
And then my friend is sitting there, like, punching it, so going, boobies! And I'm like, why are you doing that? This guy on the internet said it would work!
Everybody knows you need 10 candles, a circle of salt, and a pentagram. And then you say the magic chant, and then Chun-Li's naked. Am I the only one that worked for...
Or you could just pop in an uncensored tape of that Japanese Street Fighter cartoon and watch the shower scene.
In this theater, she's always naked in my head.
The theater of the mind.
Yes.
But Chun-Li with those thighs.
Them thighs?
Yeah, them thighs and Chun-Li.
I know, I've always wanted to cosplay / Halloween as Chun-Li, but I was like, I gotta work out. I need to get toned. Otherwise, it's just not right. You either have to be, like, super-duper skinny or toned, and I am not super skinny.
That one bit of fan art we found once that was just over-exaggerating Chun-Li's thighs.
It was, like, all thigh.
It was, like, tiny little torso and, like, giant muscle thighs. Wah!
Someone's been hitting the thigh master.
Well, what was cool... All right, going back to the subject, sorry, I know we got into fanfic. Sonya on the first Mortal Kombat. You know, she could withstand Johnny Cage's nut punch. So whenever somebody would be Johnny Cage, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to be Sonya, and then render it powerless because it didn't work.
You counterpicked his...
I did. I did. I completely emasculated his one badass attack. And so that was something. And I do want to bring this up. Back when I was in college, you had to pass this one for English comp. And you had to take an essay that was just like a published written thing. And then you had to kind of dissect it. And most of the people that reviewed yours, you were supposed to agree with it. Mine was how males do not show emotion in media. And they also reference like sexism. And one of the quotes in this, I will never forget this, was, and they play games like Mortal Kombat where you beat up and rape a girl. I was like, there is no raping in Mortal Kombat unless I missed that cheat code. And I was like, just guys play the video game. So I completely tore this girl a new one via my essay, and the hoity-toity professor did not like it, so I had to write a new one, which I entitled Abercrombie Zombies, but that's a new story. And, yeah, so I was really upset because I could cite a whole bunch of things where in movies guys did have emotion, but it was just the fact this stigma, not so much anymore because a lot more of girl gamers have kind of come out of the closet, so to speak, but... It's just the stigma of only guys would play video games, or if a lot of people present themselves as gamer girls and they play Call of Duty with their boyfriends. You know, it's like, oh, what stuff do you like? And that kind of irks me. But I grew up where I'd be at, you know, college parties and the girls would be talking about manicures and stuff like that. They're like, oh, they're stupid video games. I'm sitting with the guys. I'm like, dude, can I get next play? Like, I've just always been like that. And... I know that's a little off subject, but it kind of relates.
My wife and I play League of Legends, and it's always funny when we get into the game together, and they'll be like, someone's like, dude, do this. And he's like, I'm not a dude. I'm like, girls on the internet? You know, every time, this reaction, like, it's so rare, but I know a lot of girls play.
We freaked out a 12-year-old kid because we play together, and I'll say, like, oh, this is my husband or whatever, and they'll be like, what? You're married? You're a girl? What?
Like, no, I'm a guy. Thanks for just assuming it's hetero marriage.
Hello, gay marriage. Recognize it.
Well, it is natural coming out day of recording this. So.
It is, yes.
Speaking of online games, you know, WoW, the big one. A lot of guys will play as the girls because they'll, you know, present themselves as a girl and get free stuff because you can trade. WoW and, like, DDO, things like that, or Dungeons & Dragons Online, those are games, you know, the MMORPGs that are set up to where you don't really have, I mean, depending on the setup, you don't really have disadvantages for being a girl. You know, you can be a male mage or a female mage, and you have the same stats. So I really like that aspect, and I mean, that's kind of a staple with MMORPGs is because it's based on your constitution and things like that. Whereas, like we spoke of earlier, Resident Evil, where the girls clearly have more, they're more fragile, you know, because you're a girl.
I would be guilty of that for World of Warcraft, having a female character to get free stuff.
Man, people like you, God, get the sand out of your badge. No, and then you get the people that create new characters and have Uber accounts that are like, I just started playing, and you're like, whatever. And I'll be honest, people come up to me, they're like, oh, is this your first time? I was like, no, I've got like two other characters, I'm good. And they're like, oh, well, thanks for being honest, here's like 100 gold because you were honest. I was like, oh, okay. And it's like, it pays to be honest sometimes, not in the real world, in fantasy apparently. But yeah, I mean, that's fun. And some guys, you know, play girl characters because they're like, well, I've got to stare at an ass for 10 hours a day. I'll stare at a female ass before a dude. So it just really depends. And I mean, I know people that in tabletop games, they'll play as girls. You know, it's interesting. And they don't, it just depends, you know, and they're not gay or anything like that. And it's just, you know, playing a different person.
It's weird because when I play a PC, I have a lot of trouble playing a female character. When I'm DMing it, it doesn't bother me for some reason. But when I'm actually having to get into the like long-term mindset of a character, I just find thinking that way to be alien as a guy. It's difficult for me to do. And I feel like I'm messing it up, and it's not realistic enough.
This hair is not right. What is this mess I'm wearing?
So I tend to play mostly male characters when I have to long-term play a character.
And when I play male characters, they're usually either gay or bisexual because I can't get the, oh, I love
women. You just say dude
women.
And bro a lot. Like, yo, bro, what's up? Let's go to the pub. Yeah.
It's either they're super uber bro or they're gay with me because
that's
I don't know how to be a normal man.
I wish, I want like a gay hack to where like when he's running, he's flailing his hands or something. When you're running away from like just a group, you're like, ah!
I played a really aggressively gay Shugenja in the Legend of the Five Rings campaign once. The DM didn't like the fact that I was constantly hitting, like, let's hit the Kabuki bar up, or like, oh, the Emperor's son is in town. Well.
That reminds me of that one, D&D spoof where they're like, I'm at the tavern, are there chicks, I want to nail them.
There was a game I played once on the Xbox, Enchanted Arms, that had a gay character in it, and he was annoyingly gay because they gave him voice,
very feminine. Yeah,
they gave him gay voice, they made him all feminine. And they had him, like, having a crush on one of the other main male characters. And, like, always making him heart cookies and stuff. It made me... I was like, no.
I like doing that in The Sims, like, where the guys will go in bed together. And, like, before we go further, I do want to qualify. We are well aware when we're saying, you know, gay and effeminate, that that's not, you know, what the majority of gay people are like. However, I've known I've had like a lot of gay friends that I've kind of lost touch with them now because they've all moved, you know, out of state. But I've known a fair group of very, very effeminate, you know, gay men. So yeah, it's a stigma, and a lot of people, when we talk about it, they consider that.
Go ahead. And like, I know some who are, you know, really flamboyant, and then others that are just like your average male. They're just happen to be attracted to dudes.
Well, one of my friends, it's funny because he is really gay, but he can also, like, he'll be really effeminate, but at times, like, you know, he'll do this. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And then he'll just be, you know, I don't want to say normal, but like, to where you wouldn't know he was gay, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, cause I mean, you know what I mean? Like, cause there's, you know, obviously if a guy's like super duper effeminate, you'd be like, okay, well, yeah. And then there's just guys, it's so hard to talk about this and not sound, you know,
Well, then you also,
we love gays.
I do want to say I am bisexual, so I have nothing, you know, I'm very open. But I just, I feel weird cause it's so touchy because people that don't know me may not realize that, you know, it's like I'm not being anti-gay when I'm talking about effeminate men. It's just that's the majority of gay guys that I've known.
Come across effeminate straight guys.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I just wanted to qualify that since we were talking, well, especially since I said the hack of like the flailing hands and stuff, but I was just, I don't know, sorry. But because I would like that because that's the people I grew up with. You know, I mean, it reminds me of my friends, so...
There was this guy Kevin and I saw the other day that was wearing pink jeans and then a Nicki Minaj shirt.
I would say yes on the pink jeans, because I think that would be adorable depending what
he looked like. They were pink skinny jeans, too.
Well, was he skinny, though, or was he, like, 300 pounds and shouldn't have been skinny.
Skinny
jeans? Okay, yeah, well, then that's okay.
Skinny dude, yeah.
No, like, there probably should have been rhinestones on the sides, because that would have been the gym. No, and I'm not, like, seriously, like, my friend loves rhinestones, and not so much on the Nicki Minaj, though.
Yeah, that was the Nicki Minaj was the dead giveaway for us, though.
I don't even like Nicki Minaj.
I love Nicki Minaj.
Ugh,
I don't even like pop music.
I don't listen to pop music, so.
I listen to J-pop, but,
Otis Jowski, and he keeps beating me in song pop with it.
I don't listen to a lot of J-pop. I'm very eclectic. I'll listen to pretty much anything. I'm like, who's your favorite band? I'd be like, I just like a lot of songs. If I like it and I hear it, then I like it.
Right.
But anywho, we digress immensely.
Way off topic.
It's Geek Tooth Radio. If we're not digressing, we're not doing it right.
Right.
Okay, good. Now I don't feel so bad.
Well, I want to ask you a question. I know this is probably not the way Jowski was intending the whole show to go, but... What does Jillian think about the way women look in video games? Do you think that they are disproportionate like a Barbie? Or do you think that, those, you know, huge breasts and huge hips totally go with those tiny waists?
Okay, here's the thing. I am a huge anime geek, so that is not abnormal for me. I do paintings and drawings, and that's kind of what, you know, I do because that's the style. But even I mean, straying a little bit from video games, I mean, I did talk about the Mortal Kombat evolution or de-evolution of clothing since they wear less of,
right.
Katana and, Melina. But if you look at Harley Quinn, for example, I am pissed about the new outfit that they revamped her in. I could think of 10 different ways for her to still be sexy in her own right. And, I mean, she was sexy before, and they made her look like a crack whore. She's essentially wearing a handkerchief tied together with laces, underwear. And Harley didn't have to be like that, and they made her really super-duper gothy dark. And the charm of Harley Quinn was that she was adorably psychotic and really energetic. And I know, like, they still portray, you know, some of that, but for the majority, she... looks very tortured. They killed her personality and what made her Harley Quinn for me. And, you know, I understand sex sells, whatever. If you want to make someone uber sexy, do something else. Like, I know guys that are even pissed about that. I'll be like, oh, did you see the new Harley Quinn outfit? They're like, what? And I'm like, look, and they just get pissed. And, you know, I understand if you don't want the hat and you don't want the bodysuit, there were so many ways that you could have revamped her outfit to still keep her sexiness, keep her fun-lovingness, and not turned her into this seductive, you know, vixen-y street whore. I mean, that's why you have Poison Ivy. She's the very scantily clad, like, you know what I mean? Like, Harley is not that. And I was really upset with that. I mean, it kind of relates, I guess, but yeah.
So it doesn't bother you because of the anime, but there are certain characters where you do think this is not right.
Yeah, I mean, if they're already established, that type of thing, if they're already established and there's nothing wrong, and then they just completely revamp them for the sake of giving them hardly any clothes, that's when I have a problem with it. That would be like if Chun-Li all of a sudden just wore a bikini. It would be wrong. And that's how I feel about these characters. Like, even Melina and Katana. Yeah, they look hot. I would draw girls like that. If you look at the new Mortal Kombat, you know, I would make drawings of people wearing hardly any clothes or none at all. Not realism people, but my anime style. However, when you have those characters that are already established, there's no need, you know. And plus, even, oh my god, brain fart. Sonya, thank you. Oh my god. They made her a little more scantily clad, which is not very conducive for fighting. I don't think strings holding the girls together is very jumbly protective, and you would think it would, like, start splitting open.
Less to grab.
Yes, I guess. But I don't know, would that be what I would wear to a fight? Probably not, but you know. I think it depends what the game. Like, DOA, I don't have a problem with, because that's how they were introduced. Do I play DOA volleyball? No, but I'm not big on sports games.
Do they
look hot? Yes. Would I have, like, a calendar of DOA volleyball chicks? Probably. I don't. I swear.
Yet.
Maybe not. I don't know. Perhaps.
Merry Christmas! Oh.
Just for, like, the summer months, I make my own calendar. But anywho, they are hot. No, so, I mean, I'm a fan, and I mean, I was like that before I even, maybe it was a sign, before I even, you know, kind of realized I was bisexual. I just really like pretty hot girls, and I would always, you know, draw, and I just, you know, with the anime style, you get kind of used to the uber skinny waist. I mean, look at Clone High, they're like, you know, toothpick. Do I think that it's a representation of real women? No. Would I like if they did, you know, Samus like that? No. You know, so it just really depends on the character, honestly. If you had a main badass fighting character and they were wearing what some of the women in games, you know, wear just for the exploitation of scantily clad, I wouldn't really think much of that character, you know.
So I just pulled up the Clone High Wikipedia page because I looked up a picture to see what you're talking about. I'm looking at it like, is this show Canadian? Yes, it is.
Yes, that's definitely.
Dude, I love Clone High. Oh my god, it's great.
Style immediately. It's very, very Canadian. Because other shows.
Because we watched Total Drama Island. Is that art style?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, Clone High is fantastic. Like, oh god, Dustin and I like quote it all the time, and I'll be on my Twitter, and then everybody quotes it along with me. But
Dustin would.
No, but yeah, the principal in it is essentially Dr. Encino. Did you see the pool? They flipped the bitch. Oops, sorry, that's the line.
Oh, that Dang word it. Is okay.
Oh, okay.
I think
how
that's
can you tell cute. From the artwork that it's Canadian?
If you've seen those other shows, it looks just like them, like, well, stylistically.
It's the same way you can tell when Lauren Faust is involved in something.
Yeah, exactly.
Powerpuff Girls, Samurai, yeah. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. And yes, I am a brony.
What other shows do you mean?
We did a whole show on that, Jillian. You may have forgotten.
what other shows
I
are
was
you
doing a
to?
Callback. Kevin. What we call it in the biz.
Oh, well, I'll be right
Jeez,
back.
Kevin.
I'm efforting some interviews then if we're going to start using radio lingo on the show.
What other shows are you referring to, though, Kevin?
What was that show called with the mall?
Oh, 16? Was it?
Something like that.
16
and
was the Nickelodeon drama. Did they make another one?
The heck was this called? Here, let me do it this way. Total Drama Island, which is a parody of...
Oh, Yeah, I saw
one
that.
One of the guys is, I'm pretty sure he's Canadian, because he's in, he also voices something in the, you haven't seen it, it's this cartoon show about, like, sidekicks. I can't remember.
Teen Titans?
No. It's Canadian.
It's Canadian, eh?
So it's a boot Teen Titans?
It's a boot Teen Titans.
Oh, Dustin would kill us if he was here tonight.
No, he wouldn't. I make fun of him all the time. I did Dustin Do Right for Pete's sake, and he laughed his ass off, so.
What was his name?
We honestly can't remember the name of his other show, but Cartoon Network ran a bunch of these Canadian animated shows.
Now they show on, like, in the middle of the day. Let me see if I can't find it.
Well, I saw an episode once of Total Drama Island, and I have to say I was not a fan of that show.
No, but you would like Clone High. I almost said Clone Island. It's a hybrid of the two. The clones go to an island, and there's lots of drama.
We called that Parts.
The clone is horror.
No, Alex, I really think you would love Clone High.
My brother loves it. I still need to see it. Is it on Netflix or something?
I don't think so. You can get it on Amazon for $20 for those of you who love it and want to own it. Otherwise, I do believe there are full episodes on YouTube if you want to check it out.
These characters, though, Abe Lincoln, Joan of Arc, Gandhi,
they're clones.
They're clones of those people?
Yes, and they are in high school. And JFK is the popular guy who wants to nail everybody.
That would be
Cleo. Yeah,
it
Cleo.
It is 16, but it's the number 6.
6 and then teen.
And then Total Drama Island and Sidekick. That's the name of the other one. And he's also on Scaredy Squirrel, the guy that is in all the Canadian cartoons.
Well, the bad news is there's no Clone High on Netflix, but there is Avalon High and Vampire High.
No, you can watch Clone High on YouTube. I do believe they have full episodes on there. But yeah, Cleo is the popular girl that manipulates Abe because he's in JFK, and Abe is the awkward, nice guy who loves Cleo. Joan is like teen angst, you know, kind of. She describes herself as a goth girl, but she's not really, but she's in love with Abe and can't tell him. Gandhi is crazy, insane, ADD party guy. And cracked under the pressure of living up to the real Gandhi, so he's, you know, party dude. And then they have just random historical people all over the place. Like, you've got Van Gogh. Van Gogh, jeez.
One, according to the wiki, that was voiced by Andy Dick.
There's a lot of, Andy Dick does quite a few voices. A lot of the people from Scrubs do many voices. They have celebrity guest stars like Marilyn Manson. He sings about like the food pyramid and it's hilarious.
I think my brother showed me that one.
Yeah, and you've got Jack Black does an episode where it's a rock opera and they get high smoking raisins. it's a fantastical show.
So this isn't a show for kids.
No, it is not. Like there's a lot of sex talk, and at one point JFK mentions Dental Dam. And yeah, so that it aired on MTV, back when MTV was decent.
So before Jersey Shore.
I didn't eat honest. Yeah. Damn you, Alex. I swear to God. I didn't even watch the movie, and it was painful.
I love the comments in the forum threads that were like, "You guys have great chemistry."
There's a forum on it?
Well, no, on Cinema Snob.
Oh, okay, on the actual
I don't know why I called it a forum thread. I'm old. Like
forums
that.
Are different. The discussion of the comments.
Like the interwebs, it's all forums to me.
It's all Greek to me.
All right, so
go ahead.
I think it's about time to wrap up for the night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 56 minutes recording. Yeah.
Wow, it didn't even feel that long.
I know. That's why I'm like, oh. Well,
I do. Yeah. Avidas and goodbye.
But I guess all I want to say before we close is I do think that there are certain female characters in certain video games that could totally have a couple cheeseburgers. It's okay. You don't have to count those calories. Put on a few pounds. You'll still look great.
Well, some of them are very athletic, though. So they get a lot of exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's
playing beach volleyball. Fighting matches.
You don't want to see a six pack on your lady though, unless that's your thing.
Right.
Like that, but That reminds, like, real quick, sorry, I know I keep digressing, but yeah, I was in a store one time, and this girl, like, not girl, and she was probably in her early 20s, was complaining because they didn't have anything smaller than a size 0, and it wasn't fair, and I walked by, I was like, then eat a fucking cheeseburger. Sorry, I know you have to do that, but that is what I said.
You didn't just stab her, walk away silently.
I injected her with lard, unbeknownst to her. Just in her right thigh. Only in the right thigh.
So she'll have an imbalanced thigh.
Indeed. Like, what is this? I ate a whole Tic Tac. I need lipo.
The words of the Family Guy cockroach. Good.
Excellent. Sorry, I'm sorry I digressed into, like, Clone High and stuff when we're talking about video games. We're probably like, come back to the video games!
Again, if we're not digressing, we're doing it wrong on this show.
There could be a Clone High video game. I don't know. I sit there with my, like, controller while I'm watching the show, but it doesn't do anything.
It could be like that Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity. I think that was what it was called. It was like an adventure game with Beavis and Butthead.
That game sucked. Sega Genesis?
Oh, man.
I'm thinking of a different game.
CD-ROM.
Yeah, this was. Oh. Let me look it up. This is a PC game from about 95?
Oh, I thought you meant Genesis game. I was like, that thing was impossible. Ugh.
No, the one that was on computer, full voice and everything.
It played like Monkey Island, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, that in Discworld? Like point and click?
Yeah.
Turn on. Point and clicks are fun.
Yeah.
I think you need to, like, turn Discworld into a drinking game. Every time he goes, that doesn't work, drink, and then you're dead.
It was,
like,
called Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity, and it came out in 95.
There was a
CDI port, but it was canceled.
Well, the Simpsons arcade game you could play as Marge, but she had a vacuum cleaner weapon.
If you could swing that around well enough to use it, and it would hurt like hell.
Marge must have been just bulky. Just imagine her biceps if she's wielding vacuum cleaners.
Yeah,
those things are heavy.
Yeah,
and that
they
thing
are.
Was a Kirby.
Yeah, so I was say swinging a Kirby around.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could have just let it go Jaws style on Mr. Mom. They named the vacuum cleaner Jaws, and it would go on its own. I'm old.
I did see Mr. Mom, but I don't remember much about it, actually.
They named their vacuum cleaner Jaws, and it would, like, start up on its own and start going and scare everybody to death.
Creepy.
Somebody watched that.
Don't feed a baby chili.
Somebody watched that and decided to patent the Roomba.
Pretty much.
Those things are interesting. They do sort of work.
Cats love them.
Yeah, but it's easier to just vacuum your own freaking house. Like, I mean, if you have a mansion or something, get a maid. But otherwise, you probably don't need one if you don't. I mean, seriously. For the time it's going to take to, like, set up the little honing things and make sure it doesn't get stuck, it's like, just vacuum yourself.
Well, that and how tiny the Roomba is, I'm like, where does it put the dirt? It's a bag.
You probably have to, empty it out all the time.
Spread it more evenly about your house, you think it's clean.
I could get behind, like, the Roomba for linoleum floors. That would be handy. Like, if you had large kitchens and bathrooms and things. Because it's essentially the Roomba, but it cleans floors.
All right, so.
And now you know. And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. Sorry.
And that is our show tonight. Make sure to visit our website, www.geekjuicemedia.com. Soon to have a new look, courtesy of Jillian and Dustin. And
a forum.
And a forum. Very soon on the forum.
Working on that.
Where you can join the four of us boredly talking to one another.
I'm sure.
Thank you for having me on. It was a blasty.
It's been a blasty. Thank you for joining us, Jillian and Tawny.
Yes, it's been fun.
Next week on Geek Juice Radio, we start a multi-week look at low-budget filmmaking.
Ooh.
I don't know anything about low-budget filmmaking. I don't know what you're talking about on that one.
Not a single thing, huh?
Nope.
You weren't involved in a movie I may have just purchased.
Yes, I was very involved. I was production slave. Oh my god, so much work. No, we're happy. Yeah, so if you haven't ordered the Cinema Snob movie yet, it's pretty damn good.
Supposed
I don't know if
to
I can say
here,
damn, so I stop.
Supposed to be here sometime between tomorrow and Tuesday, so.
Yay. Oh, and I mean, just putting it out there, because I still have to do this on Twitter. I'm sorry, Takeover. Those of you who haven't received it yet, there were a lot of orders placed the first day. pre-orders went out first if you pre-ordered it as a con. So DVDs of people that ordered it the first or second day, they're still arriving. I have been keeping up to date. So just try and be, you know, patient if you haven't received your DVD yet. I'm sure you've been seeing a lot of comments of, I've received my DVD today, and getting a little impatient. So it should be coming soon. If it's an insane amount of time, you know, contact either Brad, myself, or Ryan on walkawayentertainment.com.
All right. There we go. So for Kevin, Tawny, and Jillian, I'm Alex Drowski. Stay tuned for the projection booth and join us next week.
Bye.
Bye.
The balcony is closed.
In disguise, we watch a woman wearing white wiggle worms. She's not